suitcases. He always had one with him. Sometimes two, three, even six of them at a time. Suitcases in varying sizes with varying contents. In one, he kept a blue scrap of cloth from his very own baby blanket, wrapped around Mr. Tiger, with worn copies of Robin Hood, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, and the Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. One held an assortment of rare baseball cards, a Mickey Mantle rookie card, a catcher's mitt, several prized trophies, and a photo album documenting all of his athletic accomplishments. Another suitcase held a ton of school papers, all marked with A's. Another suitcase held mementos, such as cards, letters, a journal, and a book of poetry that he'd started back in college when he fancied himself a young Carl Sandburg. Another held his two college degrees, countless certificates of achievement, his honor cords, frat pins, and his most recent awards. And in the smallest of all these suitcases, his briefcase, there was a copy of his last big deal, signed on the dotted line and folded inside a letter of thanks from his clients. They meant everything to him, these suitcases. They kept life neat and orderly. Life seemed to make sense when he had one of these traveling bags. One look inside, and his confidence swelled. These containers defined him. They reminded him. They told him he was really worth something. They were important, very important to the man. It was a beautiful November afternoon, the perfect California fall day. Trees turning colors late, and it was cold, but not too cold. The man had parked his car in a garage several blocks from his office building so he could walk to pump up the edge he needed after lunch. On this day, he had all of his suitcases. He needed all of his suitcases on that day. It had already been a hard one, and he knew that these suitcases would soothe him and tell him he was really worth something. The darkness of its shadow fell across the sun-drenched sidewalk ahead of him. Suddenly, the enormous reality of what he saw stared him in the face. For the first time in all of his existence, he saw what he could never quite imagine in his mind. Jesus on the cross. Jesus bleeding, beaten, stripped of most of his clothing, barely breathing, and hanging by his hands and feet that had been pierced all the way through with enormous nails. The man gripped his suitcases tightly as he looked up at Jesus. He swallowed hard. He wanted to turn and run. But on that day, he could feel the presence of others gathered there at the cross. Looking to his left, he saw John with his arms around the mother of Jesus. And standing close by were two other women, huddled together, quietly weeping. Others stood nearby, just watching. Then, from high up on the cross, Jesus said to the man, "What are you holding?" My suitcases, Lord," mumbled the man. "Give them to me," said Jesus. "But how can I give them to you? Your hands, they're bleeding. They're nailed to the cross. You're too weak to hold suitcases." Again, Jesus said it. "Give them to me." "I don't have a ladder, Lord. I don't know how to get them all the way up there to you." "Put them under my cross." Jesus barely breathed the words, but the man heard them. "Yes, Jesus, what a good idea. I can reach him that way. If I stack up all my suitcases, I can climb up and try to help him." The man quickly set to work, stacking his beloved suitcases one on top of the other. Then he began to climb. "Jesus, I'm coming. Jesus, look, I'm almost there." But it seemed to take forever to climb the suitcases. His feet slipped off of the edges. And once, his foot got caught in one of the handles, and he thought he and the suitcases were going to topple over. Finally, he touched Jesus' sandy, bloody feet. "Careful," he thought. "His feet must be in such pain from that nail." He steadied himself on his final suitcase, the one that held his most important treasures. The height was frightening, dizzying. Barely holding on to Jesus and the cross, he could feel Jesus' chest heave to catch the next breath. He certainly didn't want to cause him any more pain, and so he bore as much weight as possible on his precarious perch of suitcases. "Jesus, I'm here. I put every suitcase under your feet, just like you told me, and I climbed up all of them so I can help you." And Jesus said, "Now, give all the suitcases to me." "Well, Lord, I know what's in them. Just tell me what you need." "I want the suitcases," Jesus pleaded with the man. "I want the suitcases." "Please, Lord, I've worked hard for everything in these suitcases. Give them to me." "Well, they're all I have." "Give them to me." Jesus' eyes were awash with tears as he choked and wept for the man. All of a sudden, the man was overcome with embarrassment. Could the others gathered below hear what was going on between them? Then, with unexpected strength, Jesus said, "Just step off that last one. Now." Jesus' wounds seemed far beyond first aid, but the man tried one more excuse. "But Jesus, I have a first aid kit in that one, and my Red Cross badge and card, the very one I'm standing on. Give them to me." I can't, he whimpered like a little boy.
You can. Step off.
This strange argument had started up again, but now the man was the one crying. I'll fall. I won't have anything to stand on if I step off.
Do it. Now.
I'm so afraid. They're everything I worked for and everything I am. What will I hold on to if I step off of this last suitcase? And Jesus, with his unfathomable love, looked at this man and said, "Me." His warm breath and the force with which he said that one word, "me," was like a strong embrace. The man flung his arms around Jesus' legs and kicked the suitcases away. And to his amazement, he didn't fall. In fact, he felt weightless and free. And he watched the pile of suitcases tumble to the ground and land among all the others. Yes, there were other suitcases. Thousands upon thousands of suitcases, all scattered over the ground under the cross. Why hadn't he noticed them? Where had they come from? Holding on to Jesus was the most wonderful thing he had ever felt in all his life. He was fastened to Jesus and the cross. "It is finished," Jesus breathed, and the man felt all of the life drain out of the Lord's body. Thunder cracked in agreement with those last words from his mouth. Thunder cracked again, and rain began to fall, a heavy rain that soaked the man's clothing. But still, he clung to him. He didn't want this to be over, this clinging to Jesus, this holding on to him. After what seemed like hours, he felt strong arms lifting him off of the cross, and warmth, dry sunlight, warmed him. He was no longer soaking wet. It was the same November day and hour, and he was standing on the same sidewalk where it had all begun. He could not see the cross, but his suitcases were scattered all over the ground, as if they'd been dropped from a great height. His first impulse, to his surprise, was not to pick them up, but to walk away. And so he did. On that day, the man left all his suitcases at the cross.